Hi, so it's podcast again, podcast time, so welcome Jeff.
Hello mate, podcast time, that sounds exciting.
It sounds exciting, podcast time. So we're looking today at abiding through worship. You preached that sermon.
I did preach that sermon, yeah.
I love the in our small group we tried to come up with, this is Justin, she likes her one, you know, a kind of one sentence about it. And the word that keeps coming up is continuous.
Okay.
If you look at all the sermons, this continuous, you know, incessant, intentional communion.
Yeah.
This kind of intentionality in a continuous way. So it's not a one-off thing you do once a day. It's something you do throughout the whole day.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see how that works out for you in terms of your worship, whether it's just periodic or whether it's, you know, as you preach, it's throughout the whole day. So in terms of the three things that we're going to use, small group notes again for this podcast, we've got reflect, respond, practice, and we've got some book recommendations that we might talk about as well. So in terms of reflection, one of your questions which I'll aim back at you was, what does worship look like in your life currently? Do you spend time gazing upon the beauty of the Lord? If not, what stops you doing this? So,
well, it's a good question, isn't it? What does it look like currently in my life? So it's a funny one, because I think for me personally, like I love to worship God. You know, I play the guitar. I've done some songwriting in the past. I've never found corporate worship hard to engage with. One of the things I love about gathering together is just to worship with God's people. It's one of the times that I'm most encouraged, you know, if I go to a, you know, a conference or whatever. I remember going to a national, you know, prayer and fasting day for New Frontiers a few years ago at Westminster Chapel, and you know, just hearing, you know, 300 people just singing. I was just amazed. Just something about it. It's like, oh, this is a taste of heaven, you know, right here. So those specific kind of worship, you know, moments, I feel like I, you know, really engage with worship. But for me, it's funny how easy it is to have those pushed out.
I was going to say what the things that want to stop you.
Yeah, so like, I know, like, for me, like, if I grab, well, I'll talk about the specific times first. So if I pick up my guitar, something just in the way that God has wired me, that I feel like I engage with God's presence, you know, experience His presence. I'm just caught up in Him so quickly. I'm like, honestly, it can be just through a couple of strums of the guitar. Something that's just me. I know not everyone's wired that way. There's something about song for me and music for me that just opens up my heart to God in a way that other things don't. And so when I do that, and I go through seasons where I really make that a consistent habit.
Right. Yeah.
And then other seasons where it becomes more sporadic. And I'm trying to, even now when I think about the question, analyze why the change. I think sometimes just because there are different seasons where you engage with different disciplines, and I think that's okay. But I think also, to be honest, because it's time consuming and it doesn't feel very productive. Do you know what I mean? Like, because it's that, you know, we've talked about, like, stopping and gazing upon the beauty of the Lord, and how gazing isn't something that can be done quickly.
So I could
just sing a song and then, okay, that's my kind of worship. I've lifted my heart. And I'm sure it would do me some good. But I know for me, if I'm going to worship with a guitar, for example, that's going to take me 30 minutes or whatever to really get to gaze. Because as I'm singing the songs, it's like my eyes begin to open. As I'm declaring the truth, my eyes begin to open. And there'll be certain words, phrases or whatever. And I want to linger in those moments, and I want to look. And sometimes I'll just play along and just, you know, sing out, you know, spontaneously or sing in tongues or whatever. But it is a real stopping moment. But if I do that at the beginning of my day, well, that's half an hour I could have been doing something else.
Do
you know what I mean? It takes a hit, and it's kind of a surrender moment of going, but this is the most important thing. And then totally it sets my heart up, you know, for the rest of the day. Yeah. I could tell the difference between if I spent that time just gazing and adoring God, I am much more likely to then take different moments in the day to pause, to be thankful, to rejoice, to not be, you know, snarky or grumpy or critical or cynical, or all the places that my flesh naturally can go. I'm more likely to be grateful if I've kind of built on that foundation in the day. So that's the kind of specific time. That's how I do it, yeah. Specific time. In terms of like the more kind of, like you're saying, the continuous, I think starting with, you know, starting a day with something that stirs your heart in Thanksgiving, I think is important, like I said. But for me, it's all about, and this will, you know, feed into another one that we look at later, but all about, again, the pace, the pace of which I'm moving through life. I'm not thankful when I rush. You know, I'm not thankful when I'm hurried, when I'm harried, when I'm hassled. You know, I'm not thankful.
Yeah.
I've tried to, and again, with varying degrees of success, try to, you know, have those moments of turning aside in the day, of noticing the blessing, you know, and you know, the whole kind of, you know, bless the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So times where I not necessarily, and they don't, you know, they're seconds, but times where something will happen, or I'll see something, or I'll engage with someone in some way, and I'll just pause, and I'll just kind of, whether it's vocalized out loud in my heart, say, Lord, I'm really grateful for this. You know, so if I'm walking to, you know, we're not walking the kids to school so much now. Now we're in Herne Bay, but when we were, you know, just holding, you know, my daughter's hand, just taking a moment just to look at her hand in mine, and just go, oh, Lord, I'm grateful for this. Something that I would do so often and could just miss. You know, so I think it's almost about recognizing those moments of God's goodness and blessing that are always there, but actually, you know, engaging with them and engaging with God in them.
So you had a little questionnaire that you put together, which I really liked, and we did it as a small group, and I know of the whole group, I know what their top discipline is. I think the idea was you mark the questionnaire, and then the highest score indicated that's an area that maybe you should practice more.
Yeah, that's a discipline that will help you combat some of those, you know, negative statements or experiences in your life.
So let's say I can't play guitar. I'm okay with corporate worship.
Yeah.
But private worship, I haven't got a clue. And it's come up top in my questionnaire. What kind of advice would you give me?
I think, I mean, we talked about gratitude being the gateway.
Right, yeah.
To, I think, delight. I think that's what we said. Yeah. So I think, you know, it all starts with Thanksgiving. You know, so making a practice, a discipline to be thankful, you know, and whether that, you know, you can do that by, you know, praying out loud the things you're thankful for, you know, by making a list, you know, in your journal or whatever, the things you're thankful for, by, I think one of the things I said was by intentionally gossiping about God's goodness to other people so that it becomes the kind of language that you regularly use. I think it is about, like I've said, slowing down to notice, praying through the Psalms, you know, using the Psalms as your foundation for praise, you know, starting in that place, you know, crucifying some of your bad habits, you know, identifying those things that actually rob you of your gratitude, whether that's, you know, entitlement, you know, selfishness, you know, comfort, you know, whatever it is. But it's also finding the things. A big thing about this is finding the things that stir your affection and gratitude to Jesus, and making those things a habit. So the practices that we are putting forward to the church are kind of like the classic common spiritual disciplines. But actually any practice that you do can be a spiritual discipline. Anything, you know, I think it's D.A. Carson, you know, says, you know, whatever stirs your affection for Jesus, make that a habit in your life. You know, so if that's going for a walk in the woods or by the sea because you just marvel at God's creation and that stirs you to be thankful and to praise, then make that a habit. Do that every single day. You know, if sitting quietly, you know, with a cup of coffee in the morning before the kids get up, you know, for half an hour and just being still settles your heart and makes you grateful to God, then do that. If enjoying a big, you know, a lovely cooked meal, you know, that does the same, and you receive it with gratitude and, you know, not with a gluttonous heart, but you receive it and you're grateful for it. Or time, I don't know, for me, like, my heart is stirred in thankfulness when I have, you know, time with good friends, just enjoying their company and laughing and, you know, just enjoy friendship. It makes me thankful. So I think whatever it is, make that a habit. And then conversely, identify the things in your life that double your heart towards God. You know, that won't necessarily be bad things in themselves, but like they're the things that ultimately actually kind of numb our affections. You know, may just make us spiritually lazy, you know, and they'll be, again, different for everybody. For me, I love watching films, you know, but if I watch too much TV or too many films, I just feel a bit sluggish. Just feel physically sluggish, a little bit spiritually sluggish, you know. So I can do that for a bit, and I could take that thing that is a thing I enjoy and be grateful for that. That can be something that, you know, oh, crap, I'm so grateful for this time just to chill out and watch a film. But if I do that too much, it stops having that effect in my life and becomes like a negative thing. Do you know what I mean?
No, I get that, I mean, we're now sort of in the respond area, aren't we? We're talking about how do you respond. So, for you, gratitude is such a key thing. And I think that relates quite a lot to my worship, continual worship, because I'm always asking the question, you know, we've got a topic like abiding through worship. We could be looking at worship per se, and that would be different to looking at abiding through worship. So I think the worship that's continual throughout the day is much more in keeping with this idea of a continual communion with Jesus. And when you opened up abiding, you were talking about it being very relational.
Even
when we looked at prayer, it's relational. It's a kind of two-way thing. One of the things that I find I have to look after is my joy. And my rejoicing. So if I've spent the day and I haven't done any rejoicing, then I count myself a fool. Because I think actually rejoicing just does what you say. You can't rush it. You can just gaze upon the loveliness of Jesus. And I can now do that in little 30-second spurts. You know, I can think, well, I'm getting really stressed here. I'm getting really anxious, or, you know, I need a reset, so I will rejoice as a part of this abiding worship and rejoice. And for me, I have to visualize Jesus. I only have to visualize Jesus on the cross, dying for me in agony, for me to then just to think, oh Lord, it's just amazing what you did. So I'm so grateful for the cross. So for me, the cross is an easy thing to be grateful for. So in terms of practice, then. We kind of, this person that's got worship down as their number one, you're saying that for them to put it into practice, they might not be able to pick up a guitar and have a big time of worship. They might not necessarily just use CDs in the car or whatever. But we are talking about some personal trigger, aren't we, during the day that triggers gratitude.
Yeah, definitely. And again, that might be different for every person. So I'd say if somebody doesn't know how to do that, you know, just experiment with different things. Try different things. See what works for you. See what does stir your heart. You know, and ask somebody who knows you. You know, say, what do you think? You know, when you see me almost at my best, you know, when you see me really engaging with God or really enjoying God, what am I doing? Like, what's done that? You know, what's fostered that response kind of in me? If you struggle to kind of self-identify what that is, I think there are absolutely some foundational things that are helpful. You've mentioned the cross. I think there are when we go to the cross, when we go to the gospel, when we go to the truth about who God is, these are truths that inspire worship. You know, where worship is an appropriate response. When we meditate upon just making a list, a mental list or a physical list of all the things that Jesus has done for you, you know, then we become like the, you know, even just reflecting upon our access to Jesus, and we become like the woman with the alabaster jar of perfume, just in the presence of Jesus can't help but just break this perfume and pour out her devotion. It's exactly what you said in terms of if we're looking at worship through the context of relationship, you know, we're just thinking about the fact that we're with Jesus. I'm with Jesus. I'm with Jesus now. In the same way that, you know, I don't know, say you go out for dinner with your wife or whatever, you know, and you're there with her and you're just just enjoying her company. What do you naturally do, hopefully? You just say, oh, do you know what? You look really lovely tonight. Or I'm just so grateful for this time that we've got together. Or I've been meaning to say, I'm really thankful for the way you did this. Or I'm really grateful for the way you serve our family in those moments. You know, it's those, I've set this intentional side of time to focus on you, you know, and as I do that, actually, if I'm really looking at you, my praise is just going to pour. I don't have to try. It just kind of comes out. But the key is I'm taking the time to look at you. And so again, it comes back to that gazing. I'm taking the time to gaze. As I gaze, how can I not worship? How can I, you know, exactly, there's a line in a song by a band called Lifehouse, which says, you know, how can I stand here with you and not be moved by you? And I think when we gaze at the cross, when we gaze at, you know, when we encounter God's grace, it's like, well, how can I not? How can I not worship because of that?
I think we're finding a thread that's going through all of this, which is this continuous, intentional communion in relationship with Jesus. That's the thread that I think goes through each one of these weeks that we're looking at. And I think you'll find that the word will help you worship, because you can actually think, well, okay, I'll think of one word, you know, one bit of scripture today that's going to help me be grateful. You know, I can also pray. I can pray that scripture, and it will lead to joy. You know, it will. We can exchange anxiety for peace. So it'll be interesting to look at that in test that out in the next session we look at. So thanks, Jeff. That's been really helpful.
No
Thank
problem,
you so much.
Pal.
Wonderful preach, by the way.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
Would recommend anybody to go and listen again to that preach. So thank you.
Cheers, pal.